This is a message delivered by Pastor Hon on September 12, 2021. The message title is Flock of Wrestling Saints. The scripture passage is from Book of Habakkuk, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Let us read Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. The prophecy that Habakkuk the prophet received. How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen, or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed, and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous, so that the justice is perverted. There are 17 books of prophets in the Bible. It can be divided into major books of prophets, and such as Isaiah and Jeremiah, and minor books of prophets, such as Jonah and Malachi. But the book of Habakkuk that I have just read has a unique feature among the 17 books of prophets. Most prophets, other than the book of Habakkuk, begin with God's speech, followed by the reaction of the prophets to God's speech. It is the usual way of writing a book of prophet that God takes the initiative to call, stand, send, give words to speak, and the prophets react to those. The common point of the books of the prophets is that they start with words that tell us, first, the Lord God's speech, such as the word of the Lord was given to so-and-so, or the proclamation of the Lord about such-and-such. Only the book of Habakkuk begins with the words of the prophet Habakkuk himself. Moreover, the words do not begin with positive words such as, Lord, I am here, send me, or Lord, I am waiting for your word, but with negative words, repulsive, rebellion, protests, and words against God. God, what the hell are you doing? God, what are you standing out of? The book of Habakkuk is a shocking and unique book that begins with a bitter criticism of God, such as, God, do you feel nothing? It starts with blaming and asking God about the reality that faith does not work. The unconvincing response, the criticism of God that becomes even more violent, are you really God? You are so far from my image of God. However, when I went to the last chapter, I see Habakkuk is saying, although the situation has not changed that I cannot understand, I am still not convinced and I cannot accept, and it is getting worse. But God, you are right, and I have a song that I can sing for you, and I have a reason to be pleased. The book of Habakkuk is a short book with only 3 chapters and 56 verses, but it is clear that there are magnificent stories, such as the passage of time, emotional ups and downs, repulsion and understanding, and the sign of historical movement in the air. It is also this Habakkuk that the famous words we are familiar with, the words quoted in the letters to Romans and Galatians, that the righteous man lives by faith, are originally written. The word, the righteous man lives by faith, not only revolutionized the faith of the Apostle Paul and the reformer Martin Luther, but also had a great influence on us Protestant churches starting from Luther. Habakkuk is a prophecy that is short but rich in content. And this morning, at this time of memorial service of the dedication of the church building, I would like us to appreciate the grace from the Word of God in this book of Habakkuk. As I said earlier, Habakkuk now has a big problem that makes him sick and in tears, and he appeals to God. His worries are in 2 points. First, God, are you indifferent to this real-world problem in which we live? And the second, I pray, call, cry, and appeal to you, God, but why do you not answer? He is so worried and heartbroken. Let us read verses 2 through 4 again. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 2. How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save? Why do you make the look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted. Now Habakkuk is appealing to God that he could not understand or could not be convinced that the evil is prevailing, the bad guys have prosperity and power, and those who have power become bad guys, and good and vulnerable people are facing unbearable situation, and there is no righteousness or justice in the vicinity of where he lives, in the region, in society, or even in the nation. This is the state of the nation of the society run by the Israelites, who are said to be the people of God, he says. In verse 4, he intensely appeals, we are in situation where we are paralyzed and the word of God is not in effect at all. He pleads to God, if you are God of peace and justice, please answer my serious prayer. What is happening here in Habakkuk's mind is a discord. God, I believe in. God, I confess. The faith or theology I'm sure of does not fit reality. The God I have learned, believed, and expected do not match the God I meet in my daily life. This discord is now a major concern for Habakkuk. A world in which unrighteous, evil, and sly people, rather than those who seem to be good, take control of history, succeed, and do well. This problem is not just Habakkuk's issue, but a common issue in the history of all humankind. In Psalm 73, the wicked are peaceful to death. Those who believe in the true God and strive to live according to the word of God are left struck and suffer. Even when a new morning arrives, it will not be removed. And when the author of the psalm entered the temple to worship God with unconvinced thoughts, he was led to confess, I was jealous of the successful man who I thought was evil, but I am the brute beast myself, and he was convinced. From the historical background of Habakkuk's time, faithful kings, like King Josiah, died in the war all of a sudden, who returned to God's word to rebuild a corrupt society, who made the living according to the word of God as the first national policy, who took the lead in promoting the reform movement, and united the nation. And Habakkuk experienced the bad reality that the bad guys once again took power with their momentum. And he appeals, God, you shouldn't be like this. God, don't you think anything when you see the condition? Do you know this situation? Since you don't seem to know, let me tell you. I don't think God is taking the initiative in the moving history, and the world is going around in a completely different way from God's nature. The word of God is ignored, and it cannot influence the world at all. I'm hurt because, God, you are insulted by the people of the world. People seem to think that God doesn't really exist, let alone the word of God. But is that okay with you? What I'm appealing to is not to increase my income or to prosper, but the kingdom of God and the righteousness of God have fallen, crumbled, and is collapsing. Please take some action. Then God responded in verse 5 and after, saying, "If so, let me answer that prayer." But the content of that response was beyond Habakkuk's imagination. God said, "Okay, then I will answer your prayers in a way that you cannot imagine or dream of. Let's solve it." So the method is to wake up the Chaldeans to invade, rule, and destroy Israel. The Chaldeans are Babylonians in the book of Daniel. The details of how brutal, ruthless, proud, and proficient the Chaldeans are recorded in details in verse 5 and after. Habakkuk chapter 1 verses 5 through 10. Let's read. "Look at the nations and watch, and be utterly amazed, for I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe even if you are told. I am raising up the Babylonians, that ruthless and impetuous people who sweep across the whole earth to seize dwellings not their own. They are a feared and dreaded people. They are a law to themselves and promote their own honor. Their horses are swifter than leopards, fiercer than wolves at dusk. Their cavalry gallops headlong. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like an eagle swooping to devour. They all come intent on violence. Their hordes advance like a desert wind and gather prisoners like sand. They mock kings and scoff at rulers. They laugh at all fortified cities. By building earthen ramps, they capture them." Habakkuk used to only scream with his voice to God until then. But as we see his response to God's word from verse 12, it is as if he was approaching God with exploding anger and accusation. If this really happens, it's far from what I knew, learned, and expected of God. What's happening? The whole thing, God, treat your people of your own choosing like bugs and make it as if all the fish caught in a drag net are grilled and eaten up. Is it okay to keep it? If that's okay with you, God, I cannot call you God anymore. He thoroughly faces God. This is the logic that Habakkuk advocates here. If God is righteous God, why and how does he return to evil with even worse evil? If you ask for the solution of evil, isn't it the right way for the good and the weak to take the initiative and drive out the bad? I would like to use another story to explain what is happening here. Suppose there is a group of burglars that spreads in the town, and the stolen things are piled up and become a huge fortune, but they are not found or caught at all. In the meantime, they became rich, built mansions, bought buildings, bought luxury cars, and even had power. On the other hand, unrighteousness is openly prevailed, that those who believe in good faith by working hard to pay the monthly rent and loans are chased from their homes, and the whole family gets lost on the street. Then I pray to God, please do something about it. God says, okay, I understand. To remove those burglars from the town, I will send the world's largest antisocial force to your town and let them dominate the town. Eventually, their boss will become the mayor and the young head will become the deputy mayor. Let's get the members of the force to work as the leaders in the area. It is almost like this story. That's why Habakkuk appeals to God. It's not a joke. Don't be silly. In a sense, it is a natural appeal, isn't it? Earlier, I spoke about Psalm 73, in which the writer confessed at the end, only the evil ones are not the evil ones, but I am the evil one myself and the brute beast. To understand the wisdom of God's work at the end. But at this point of time, Habakkuk hasn't reached that point yet. Habakkuk was appealing to God the iniquity of their own Israelites in their native Israel, where the word of God was ignored, the word of God was dysfunctional, and the violence was pervasive. As soon as the Chaldeans came out in God's word, Habakkuk tries to reprove God by saying, no, God, who do we compare the Israelites to? We are good people compared to those barbaric, sneaky, and violent ones. Don't you join us, Israelites, with those villains, the true villains. The villains of Israel are better than the villains of Chaldeans. Let us read Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 13. Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves? The bad guys and traitors here are the Chaldeans, and the righteous ones are the Israelites. A while ago, he was just appealing to God about the injustice of the Israelites, but he says defiantly, no, we Israelites are better than the Chaldeans. What do you think of Habakkuk's defiant manner? Do you think, what an unbelieving guy? Habakkuk has already insulted God. He is a rebellious and unreasonably ungodly guy. What nerve has he got? In fact, when the book of Habakkuk is preached, sometimes the message delivered is, we Christians must not be as unbelieving as Habakkuk. On the other hand, let Habakkuk be a teacher by a negative example and obey God's word. Difficulties we face are not a big deal considering the coming heavenly kingdom, the coming new heaven and the new earth. Eternal life is given to us. Instead of a rebellious attitude toward God like Habakkuk's, let us obey the word of God in good faith. But is this sermon correct? I'm sorry, there is no point of arguing whether or not it is an appropriate sermon. There might be a reason or two for such a sermon, and I think it can be a good message. However, one thing I can say for sure here is that it is not correct to say, let's make Habakkuk a teacher by a negative example. Is Habakkuk really unbelieving? Is Habakkuk's complaint really ungodly? On the contrary, I think that we believers must imitate the way of Habakkuk. If I'm not satisfied with God's response, And if I cannot accept the treatment I receive or the problems I'm facing as the one who believes in a God and longs for Him, I might say, I do not know the existence of God anymore. Then it is like a Job's wife in the book of Job who said, it's okay, you love all the people in the world except me, and she left home. Until the end, Habakkuk continued to bring up to God his unconvinced thoughts, poked at God, and wrestled with God to find a solution within God. He wrestles with the word of God that was given to him. There is an answer in the fight with the word of God, he said. There must be one. I'm going to get an answer from God who made all things in heaven and earth, who rules all the things, and who made an impossible sacrifice of Jesus Christ. I will not let it go. Not only was Job abandoned by his wife, but his entire family died suddenly. His vast fortune was blown away overnight, and he suffered an incurable illness that he didn't understand. He still talks about God, though. Almost all references to God, however, are words to curse God. However, the true meaning of those words is on the other side of the same coin, which is, I want to find the answer in God no matter what. He does not run away from God. It looks like he is out of God's house, but he is writhing in agony in the house of God. So when we look at the end of the book of Job, God says that Job, who seems to be unbelieving after unbelieving, was much more correct than his three friends. Job, who seems to have a grudge against God, is said to be the one in God rather than the three friends who lined up the fine words of faith. The same is true for Habakkuk. He wrestles with God because God, whom I have imagined, expected, or wanted, or the theology and faith I have learned, cannot be applied or matched with life that I live every day. His struggle was neither unbelief nor disrespect, but a manifestation of the belief that he would cling to God, bite him, and not let go of it to the end, and to resolve it within God. We believers are wrestlers, spiritual wrestlers. We wrestle with God. Every day, we live feeling as if the God we meet today is not God. We live anxiously with God, who seems to keep quiet and do nothing. When I think that something has happened, sometimes it develops as I want, but often it develops as I do not want it. And if I maintain the status quo, it is fine. But the status quo is usually getting worse and worse, and it becomes the reality that I do not want. I live in the worries and conflict that the Bible's words I believe in look like fiction, jokes, plausible tales, or myth. Even so, as if nothing is happening, the only belief is to say, God is still alive and I believe in such a God, so it's okay. Is it unbelieving and ungodly to confess, oh, I cannot stay anymore as a Christian? There seems to be no God. It is not. I tend to say, faith is to know the will of God and walk with loyalty according to that God's will. But there is a big misunderstanding here. It is almost impossible to go forward with a clear understanding of God's will. The will of God is certainly recorded in the Bible. And although the Bible is certain, it is very rare that we act by knowing in advance the detailed and concrete will of God in our individual daily lives. So, We read the Bible and pray at the beginning of the day every day. I often pray like this: God, I don't know how to live today. Tell me what I should do as I am in the Lord today. And as you know, I'm lazy, so help me do what you want me to do today. We feel like walking alone through a dark tunnel that we do not know well. But at one point, when we look back, we find a path has been created behind us. Although we say, I'm seeking the will of God and exploring what the will of God is, we live with mixed thoughts. I think I'm actually living as my heart goes. When we look back, we can say, oh, that was the reason why the road was blocked or closed at that time. It was God's will that the road was closed and things didn't go as planned. We understand it later. In chapter 16 of the book of Acts, when the Apostle Paul seriously explored where God's will was, he set out for the eastern country and proceeded, but the Spirit of the Lord prevented him, saying, "It is not what I want." Before he set out, he must have been worried, groping, and finally decided this is the guidance of the Lord, but it was not. Exploring God's will, wishing to live according to God's will, being worried, consulting with the pastor, reading the Bible, reading books, praying even if not mature, putting together all my experience, intellect, common sense, theory, logic, I mobilized everything in my own way, convinced that this was the will of the Lord, and proceeded, but the Spirit of the Lord prevented it. So, wasn't there any point in the process of getting there? Was it useless to go here and there through trials and errors? It is not. That is a life of faith, isn't it? Why does God allow us such trials and errors? Is God so mean that we are struggling because God enjoys seeing us from high? Since God is interested in our loyalty and service that clearly identifies God's will, and we do everything for God and we are effective and successful, does God hinder us because we lack such loyalty and service? This is not true either, isn't it? Is it? God in the Bible is not the one who cannot act as God without our loyalty or help. He is not God who cannot act as God unless we do something for Him. God's only concern is us, each of us, as a person. The intention is to deepen the relationship with God through trials and errors. The Bible teaches us God's concern is to deepen our relationship with each of us. Even though God has not given me detailed blueprints or guideposts for my life, I still try to find God's will. I am at loss to find God's hand, and I fall down, but I try to get up again and start. Through this process itself, we deepen our relationship with God, and it is our Christian life that God values. Habakkuk is on that path now. He lives in the belief that even if I don't understand the reality, even if my faith betrays me, I will cling to God until the end. What we learn from Habakkuk's attitude as a believer is that the faith is to jump into a gap. Then what is the gap? It is the gap between my belief and reality. It is to continue to ask the question, I don't understand God. Why, God? I don't think there is God. Habakkuk is doing this now. Instead of separating faith and reality, you can dive into the gap between faith and reality, ask questions in any form, and live your faith by receiving guidance step by step from there. This is to live a believer's life or to do theology. Reading a theology book, reading a book, studying and conviction is not the faith or a theology, but it is to dive into the gap of why what you learn or believe does not work in the real world, why it cannot be applied or why things do not go as expected, and to continue asking questions to God in that gap. Habakkuk had the belief and theology that God responds to his prayer, but he clung to God in the gap that could not be applied in reality. And he found out there. What did he find? There is no doubt that God is the one who responds to prayer, but at the time of God, he will answer in the way of God. Habakkuk learns that his faith or his theology was too narrow. Then he was able to relax in his heart. God will surely answer prayers in his own way at his own time, and Habakkuk can be confident that God will realize righteousness and justice. To be worried and to ask questions to God is not like to practice fast and stay in a prayer house, but to read and examine the Bible, which is the Word of God, hearing, asking, interpreting, being worried, sometimes challenging God, and praying, receiving God's guidance one by one while living a real life. As you read through the book of Habakkuk, we learn a warning. When we make a choice in front of us urgently in order to live our life according to the order of this world and not to be trampled in such a world, if we adapt to this world, accommodate ourselves to the world, ignoring God's word, paralyzing God's word in our life, and avoiding living in God's order, we will be thrown into a place under the rule of a murderous world symbolized by the undesired Babylonians or Chaldeans. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 26, Jesus said, "Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels." This was happening to the Israelites as depicted. Since a man was expelled from a Garden of Eden until this very moment, the chaotic time has been continuing in which we do not know what is evil, what is good, what is disaster, what is war, what is pandemic, whether or not there is an ultimate order. But the righteous still live by faith. The righteous man here is not the pure and righteous person, but the one who lives his life step by step, even if it is in a darkness that is very different from what he expected by his faith, by clinging to God without giving up on God, even if he feels powerless. A person who freely wrestles with God without being bound by formality is called a righteous person. I would like to thank God for each and every one of this group of Christ here who is celebrating the 35th anniversary of the dedication of this church building as such a righteous man. Let us pray.